You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are here. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 19th of April, 2022. It's, this is gone, 21:36 p.m. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and a load of your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, well, the regular season is over. The playoffs loom large. And the first of two new banners at least now hang in the SSE Arena, and we hope we can add a third in the next couple of weeks. We're going to look back on the regular season with the games against Sheffield and Coventry. We'll hear from Max Stewart, Rob Stewart, Tyler Beskerwani, and Adam Keefe. And the fan agenda is with Scott Conway. He'll be here in around 25 minutes to half an hour. He'll be taking your questions live. And we'll also be looking, of course, at a few pieces of news from right around the Elite League before we look ahead to the games against the Coventry Blaze in the quarterfinal of the playoffs. That's nearly the playoffs. What it was. If you're watching us live on Facebook or YouTube, send us your thoughts, comments, questions. Big hello to all the Manchester United fans out there. Hope you're having a great night.
Paddy.
Davey, how are you doing?
Don't even know what the score is, Paddy. Haven't tuned in. I've been busy prepping for the podcast, probably just as well, by your smug grin.
Yeah, it's one of those smug grins. Absolutely, it's one of those smug grins. And Mr. Kitchen,
you're keeping well?
You're quite
an unlikable chap at times.
I am. So my wife tells me. Quite a bit.
Some people would call you an arsehole, but I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't dare, mate. You wouldn't dare. Simon, how are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. As Davey says, it's always good to get a few quid up on the bets, and Man United are crap. So it's
really
rosy in the garden.
Yeah. Joel, keeping well?
Yes, mate. Good to see you for what is one of the last kind of couple now. I guess we're down to, after this, what, two more shows? It's
two crazy. It's
been a long, long season, but it's also flown past. So yeah, let's just enjoy the run in here.
This is show number 32 of the 17th season of A View from the Bridge, and we've only got a couple more left. As I said, we are on the cusp of the playoffs. But before we do that, we're going to cover, of course, the games that took place at the weekend that closed out the regular season of the Elite League Championship, one that was very successful for your Belfast Giants. Sorry, Stevie. And I'm not. let's start with that game that took place on Friday night against the Sheffield Steelers.
Another banner in the rafters at the SSE Arena. Your 2021-22 Premier Sports Challenge Cup champions.
Back off the wall, to the blue line, shot from distance by Sam Ruoff. Cycles it down low for Murphy now. Murphy makes it out front. Lake tries to get a bit of speed. Shot coming in, it's in! Lake with a hesitant play, heads up, just looking that pass, put it on the tape for Schneider Duggan, and the Giants are 1-0 up. So glad that you're there, sweeping away the sad times, making me laugh again. Oh, you're bringing on back the good times, and you've started healing. Soy starts it forward, Boucher, he's in all alone, takes a shot, good save, it's in! Initial save by Stojanovic. Jordan Boucher gets a puck block on that occasion. 4:42 to go in the second.
and the Giants take the lead again. It's 2-1. Want me to do? Now you've made me see what you mean to me. You're bringing on hey, back door. Shot coming in. Yes, hey. Hard play goal. 3-2 Belfast.
Superb hard play goal there for the stand line Belfast Giants. Moving the puck superbly well. Finished off by Lewis Hook.
Sorry. Lewis Hook with Boucher. Puts the brakes on. Comes across a couple of circles. A little dish from Antoine Lally. It's Mark Garcia. Garcia looking for a tip inside the head. And he's Max Stewart! He's got his goal! His first professional goal for Max Stewart! The Belfast Giants extend their lead to 4-2! You're bringing on back the good times, taking away the pain. You're bringing on back the good times, and I'm living on air, so glad that you're there. Sweeping away the sad times, making me laugh.
What a finish! High over the glove of Rob Stojanovic. Belfast Giants get away with both points tonight. Captain David Goodwin with the trophy in hand. Mark Garside with the other. And it's another celebration. Centre ice at the home of the Belfast Giants, the SSC Arena. What a moment for all of these players. What a moment for this packed out SSC Arena.
Fantastic. And what a weekend, what a game it was for the Belfast Giants being able to hang that banner of the Challenge Cup up in the arena. It was a 5-4 win for your Belfast Giants. The goals come from Slater Doggett, Jordan Boucher, Lewis Hook, Mac Stewart with his first professional goal, and Jordan Boucher with the final goal of the game. For the Sheffield Steelers, Mark Vallerand scoring in a dead rubber. Robert Dowd, Tyre Eberle, and Dowd, who scored the fourth. With regards to the goalkeepers, Jackson Whistle played 50 minutes, 31 shots against, 2 goals against. Andrew Dixon played the remaining 12 minutes, 11 shots against, 2 goals against. Rok Stojanovic, 34 shots against, 5 goals against. And your referees were Tom Perring and Andrew Dalton. David, your assessment of this game?
I think it's fair to say that the Belfast Giants don't do dead rubbers. I think that some of the effort levels put in by various players on the night was very intense. They wanted to get that win. You don't ever want a team to come into your barn and beat you. The night was a lot about where we were able to rest a few players. Coop sat out, Griff sat out, and it was all about the young lads. And I think Simon at the start of Giants Live TV referenced that it was perhaps the first time we'd ever started a six of all British talent. And that's what they were. They're talented boys. And, I guess the big thing of the night was Max Stewart's goal, and I'm sure we'll come on that. But I thought in terms of the game, I think Kale maybe had about 15 minutes, Mac and Carter about 10 minutes each. So they got regular shifts and they did what they had to do and they put their bodies about. And, it was interesting in the lineup. You've seen them in the lineup, and this isn't disparaging towards them. They're still growing, there's still a lot of development and stuff to do, but great for them to get in and get ice time that, Simon will know better than anybody how many hours of practice or how many days of practice they've even missed over the season, let alone been at, probably a handful here and there. They've committed. They've done their SNL stuff when they haven't been with the Giants, and Kale's obviously went and won stuff with Solway and possibly more to come as well, and he wants that. In terms of the game, wasn't that bothered one way or the other in terms of you wanted to get through it whole. You wanted to get through it without injuries, and I think that's the one thing that coming out this weekend, as Simon probably again will know better than most if we've came out whole. But in terms of getting out of those banana skins, didn't need the points, didn't matter a jot. But to get those guys blooded on the ice and get them a lot of shifts, 20 odd shifts, I think Kale had. So in terms of getting them ice time and getting through it without injuries was the key thing for me on the night.
I think that's right, isn't it? Says it's like the notes I've written here are more or less keep healthy, dead rubber game, nothing, and keep healthy. Few bodies have been rested for this game, and it will come to the Coventry game as well. But getting through it was the first thing. Getting through it with a win, secondary, but we got both.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, when you're leaving talent out of the lineup like Griff, and obviously Rayner was hurt, Besko rested for a couple of weekend games. Coops obviously joined me in Jan's TV, but you know, the kids did really, really well. I thought Kel, if you look back at the first and second game that Jan's played with Kel back in October within Fife, okay, and they only got a couple of shifts, but look at the difference in them between then and now. It's off the charts. I mean, the kid has done so, so well. Mac as well. And when you play with better players, it doesn't make a difference what sport you play. When you play with better players, you get better. Mac and Kel have up the opportunity to practice more or less every single day with the guys the whole way through the season. Carter, you know, has been called in when the bodies have been low, and he didn't let himself down at the weekend. I thought the three of them did really, really well. But as a defenseman, watching Kel and watching the way he's playing the game and his positioning, just, you know, lining up. Who was one guy that really stood out for me on Saturday night? Sorry, Friday night against Steelers, wasn't
Friday
it?
Friday night.
One guy that really stood out for me was Jeff Baum. You know, Jeff's only 25, 26, but he got a lot of ice in him alongside young Kel. And he was, you know, he was basically just talking to him the whole way through the game. I chatted with him afterwards, and he said, you know, it's all about bringing the kids. I've been there before. I've wanted to play that many minutes. I think Davey touched on about 14 or 15 minutes for Kel. And then he went away the weekend to play in Solway and absolutely hammered Nottingham. There you go, Davey, just to let you know. But, you know, again, Mac and Carter, did really well up front. When you got the game come back to 4-4, the ice time was sort of limited then, because, again, Adam doesn't want to lose. It's that simple. The guys want to win. Whedon, they're winning breeds success. And you just want to keep on getting those W's on the board. And you beat Sheffield two games last weekend. You come in here. They're missing a couple of bodies as well, in fairness. But I thought the performance was really well. It was the first period. It was a bit of a damn squid. There wasn't much happening until we got that goal when Laker put it on our plate for Dogs. Great, you know, heads-up play by Ben Lake as per normal. And the second period, Stojanovic should have had that. Shouldn't have boosted that near post and, you know, going up over him and getting the second goal. We did what we had to do. We came out with the 2 points. But as Davey said, the big moment of the night was, actually, there was two. Matt getting his goal and Dicko coming on. You know, we get 10 minutes for Dicko as well, coming into playing in the overtime period. He doesn't get much ice time, and it's great for him to be rewarded. But it's fantastic to see Max score the goal. And you know, he if you watch him in the play, he sort of, he would have been the third man high as the guys, you know, went down low. The puck went down low, but just towards the goal line. And then he just sort of floats into it. Such a smart hockey player for somebody so young. It's just, yeah, he's not afraid. What is he? 5'6", 8 stone soaking wet. You know, just in front of the net, right in front of the goaltender. Gets a flick off him and ends up in the net. It doesn't matter how they go in. He's never going to forget that. And it's absolutely fantastic to get up that goal on the night that we left the trophy and the banners lowered for the Challenge Cup. Absolutely fantastic. It's, as I say, it's something that he's never going to forget.
I'm going to come to you just a second, Joe, but on that, I think it's just a perfect time to bring in the two post-game interviews that you did on the ice after the game against Sheffield with the lad and the dad, Rob and Max Stewart.
Joined after that one by your man of the match and debut pro goal scorer, Max Stewart. Mac, talk us through it. How did it feel after a long season on the ice for the Giants? Finally got that goal on a big night for the city.
Oh yeah, it was just unbelievable. It's something I've dreamed about since I was a kid. So the feeling to get that first goal was just unbelievable, yeah.
Did you get a look or a talk or anything with your dad after you scored that?
No, I just got a firm handshake.
A firm handshake. I'll not keep you from the trophy celebrations, but what does it mean to do it on a night when the Belfast Giants lift the league title that you were part of?
Oh yeah, it's just incredible. It's like, I'm lost for words for it, because winning the league, probably a big achievement, and then scoring the first goal, like, also a huge achievement for me, so it's just...
Congrats, Mike. Well done, man. Rob Stewart, on a special night like tonight where the Giants lift the league trophy, I just have to get your reaction to young McKenzie scoring his first pro goal.
Well, obviously
you know, it's pretty exciting. Standing on the bench, you're trying to watch the game, but you're always hoping, you know, your mind kind of drifts and you're thinking about it. It's got to be the day. It's got to be the day for him. And he put a lot of hard work in, and, you know, he's a pretty humble guy. And I think the way he scored it and the way it worked out, you can't write it. And I think it was pretty special for him and for our family.
And you're right, you know, he has put the hard work in. We talked even on the podcast this week about stepping into a league with kind of big guys, pro guys, you're not afraid to hurt you. And it must be the reward that he deserves for the year of work that he's put in.
Yeah, you know, this year and the years past, I mean, you guys are pretty dedicated or very dedicated. And, a 17-year-old playing against men, it's a big step. And, you know, me and Keeper made some talk. He said, you know, he doesn't shy away and he gets stuck in. And I think it's been great. You know, this is an unbelievable year for him to come through like this, especially to, you know, score a goal in the day we lift the trophy. So.
Congratulations, Steve. Well deserved. Thank you.
Certainly well deserved and well done to Mac. You know, Joel, you did those interviews, and you could see from both Rob the smile on Rob's face and the excitement in Mac. It was just wonderful to see.
Well, an absolutely wonderful moment on what was going to be already a memorable night for everybody in that arena. And you know, you guys have known Stu a lot longer than I, but he's quite a poker face, Rob Stewart. You know, old Golden Skates. He doesn't really let the kind of emotion crack too often. But it was, you could just see it in his eyes and in that smile, how proud he was of Mac. And I thought the reaction from the bench, there was a couple of actually fan videos of the goal that showed Mac taking the kind of fist bumps along the bench and just how delighted all of those other players were for Mac to score his debut goal. And, you know, one of you said it just earlier on in the show that, you know, you come into that kind of game with the championship tied up. It's a celebration. The hockey's probably not the first thought on your mind, but Adam Keefe gave us all kind of three reasons off the drop to care about that game. And it was just wonderful to see an All-British starting lineup with those kids in their tailored jerseys. You know, I go back to a fantastic tweet from my good friend David McGimsey a couple of days ago, 15th of March 2001. Belfast Giants score 5 past Sheffield, goal scorer number 16 Rob Stewart, and 15th of April 2022 the Belfast Giants score 5 past Sheffield, goal scorer Max Stewart. And 21 years between those and a couple of absolutely amazing photos. If you haven't seen that, check out Davey's Twitter. But look, just you know, the boys have already summed it up, just a proud night. I think a proud night just for the Brits as well, fitting that a game that started with an all-Brit lineup. I think it's fantastic that Mark Garside got the first apple on Max's goal. He did really well to you know, push up and keep that puck onside and to play that in front of the crease. And the Giants have done what they've done all year long, great net front presence, going to the net and working hard and getting those greasy goals that make the difference between championships and not championships.
21 years between them, Davey.
Unreal, isn't it? I actually thought I got a little bit excited and I got a little bit ahead of myself because I thought it was the 15th of March, and it was just too perfect. It was too perfect. And I texted Stu and went, "You're not going to believe us, mate. Here's, you know, 15th of March 2001 or whatever, 15th of March 2022, exactly whatever, 21 years apart. You have scored against Sheffield on the same night, blah, blah." And then I went, "Shoot me, it's the 21st of April or 15th of April or whatever." But
you should have done 21 year ago photographs. Just, you know, split the screen between the two. I haven't seen you in 21 years, but you two have.
You had hair, Paddy.
No, I didn't.
Davey, Joe, were you born 21 years ago, Joe?
Oh, no, but might have done, actually. Might have done. 2003. Yeah, Joe would have done.
I was around.
I have a wee bit more salt in. Salt and hair, but sure, what can you do?
It's this photo. I don't know if you can see it, but this photo of
the photo of the kid.
Check out Davey's Twitter for Stu and Mac with the Monteith Bowl after that. That was 2012. I can tell by the Irish dancing ribbons on the trophy that Smalls had to purloin the night we beat Sheffield for the title.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think the year Theo won the league here and we went to the Stalkers do in Le Mans.
Don't think you can call it that, mate.
I think Max Stewart was on our table in his mummy's tummy. I'm nearly sure she was expecting then. And I don't know whether those dates tie up or not. Says that would have been, what, 2006? What age is he now?
17.
Yeah. That's probably wasn't then.
No. Sounds like a lie, did it?
No, honestly, do well. All right, then. Stu's date was expecting. sorry, Stu. But yeah, one other stat off Mac's goal. Mac's goal was the 500th all-time goal for the Belfast Giants against the Sheffield Steelers. So a little feather in his cap for that one too. Always the little milestone to like tick off and say, you know, who got the 500th goal ever against the Sheffield Steelers? Well, it was Mac Stewart. Anybody says will probably know. Pound for the person who scored the first goal against the Sheffield Steelers. Really? I told you this the other day. We had Kim this discussion.
I know, but I don't want to sound as if I told you the answer. I'm trying to
answer
it a bit. Doesn't matter. Use two guess. I know who it is.
We have been.
Kevin Riel.
No, it wasn't Kevin Riel.
Okay. Jeff Ode. I'll just go through the team.
Corey Carlander.
He's our goal again. Sorry.
Paxton Schulte.
Says who got it.
I have no idea. It wasn't paying attention.
Goal number one against the Sheffield Steelers was in a 5-1, I think, home defeat, played at Coventry. One of our first home games that we actually played on the road, scored by Jason Wright, his only league goal of the season. So there you go.
Never got long, that. Long never got ago. That. Right. And on that, we move on to Saturday's game, which is the final game of the regular season. And that was against the Coventry Blaze.
Darcy Murphy gets it to the blue line. A lovely pass across. Ace Knight steps in. Takes a shot. It's through. Screen in front. CJ Mott didn't know much about it. It's all about the pass from Griffin Reinhardt, though. Right onto the stick of Cam Knight. And he gets the chance back within one.
I want me to hold you tight.
Through Sammy! Sammy Ruoff sends it on goal. CJ Mott looked a bit bemused about that. Did it get a tip in front? Nice play by Jeff Bonfouchet. As Carter Hamill going to the net, tries to take her. Oh, what a finish from Tyler, from Jordan Fouchet. Tyler Mott dropped his knee. He even had the dig from 150 feet away. Great goal for the Belfast Giants, Jordan Fouchet. Turn the puck over, it's down over Darcy Murphy through the hole. Darcy Murphy, great finish. Has a difficult, difficult season. It's great to see him get on the board again. It's 4-2. Here comes Doggett now. 3-on-2 for Belfast. Cooper on the right. He's got Darcy Murphy on the left. Bounces free for Doggett inside. And it's a goal. Mark Cooper gets his 31st of the season. A bobbling puck in the zone. Controlled by Cooper. And he puts it up high. Lovely pass out front. Soy finishes off. What a wrist there. And Carter Hamill with a great pass out from the corner. Gets his first point as a Belfast Giant. Picks it into Lewis Hook eventually. Back to Max Stewart. Max Stewart controls. Gets a chance there at the back door from Kieran Long. All the way round to Ben Lake again. Lake and Curran battle for it. Lake puts Curran to the ice. Puck breaks free for Lake. Lake into the zone. Score! Lewis Hook takes a hit off the wall. A lovely pass into the high slot for Ben Lake. But Lewis Hook finishes it off.
I don't know, somewhere in Finicky, that the Lynches are basically Karen and Jim Lynch. Love this tune. Love this tune. The 7-6 win for your Belfast Giants. The goals come from Cam Knight, Slater Doggett, Jordan Boucher, Darcy Murphy, Mark Cooper, Tyler Soy with an assist from Carter Hamill, and Lewis Hook was the seventh. And for the Coventry Blaze, it was Chalk. Cavalti? Cavalti, Halbert, Venus, Eichstad, and Cavalti again. Where do you get 2-7-6 win for your Belfast Giants?
Cavalti,
that'll do.
Yanni Cavalti.
Well, you go with it. Obviously, we were missing at least three significant players who seem to be having a great night in the SSE Arena on Saturday night. But the remaining players on the ice stepped up well. And it was an entertaining game, I have to say, Joe.
Surprisingly so, Paddy. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't the first to say it. I think it was maybe Michael Owens or someone who said on Twitter that you can put 200 plus Elite League points and your entire top line in BC on the beers and still beat the Coventry Blaze. That's the mark of a championship team. The game sort of exploded into life. I mean, you had that 2-2 first period, and then in the middle period, it got just unnecessarily wild. I mean, a lot of penalties. The Coventry Blaze, I know you have a take on this, Paddy. The Coventry Blaze seemed to get real chippy and real kind of physical with it. Quite unnecessary, to be honest, in what was it. I know they're playing for playoff seedings and whatever else, but quite an unnecessary performance from them in what is a dead rubber whenever everyone at the minute, you know, is turning their focus on to the playoffs and trying to get through to those playoff quarterfinals injury-free and with everybody intact and everybody in the lineup ready to go. I think we were, hopefully, I mean, I don't know 100%, but we were lucky to come through that with everybody, and maybe says can maybe shed some more light on that. Hopefully everybody's okay and all right. You know, there was a suspension for Yanni Cavalti from that hit on Lewis Hook whenever he scored the game winner. But yeah, again, you know, the Giants, you've got an arena there full of people. You've got a big crowd with the East tier out all weekend long. And you can just tell that the Belfast Giants don't like losing games, even if they mean nothing. And it was very, very lovely to see. But yeah, look, it was job done. And hopefully no lasting ill effects. I think Jordan Boucher all weekend, by the way, was fantastic. You know, we've seen his hands and his feet all season long. We've seen his ability to sort of enter the zone and get in front of goal. The end product maybe sometimes hasn't been there. You know, I made kind of light of it a few times across the season, that kind of backhand drag across into the slot and the kind of forehand or vice versa. But he scored a couple of peaches this weekend and was sort of a terror in the zone. It was really nice to see. And also great to see Darcy Murphy scoring regardless of the situation. You know, he's been through an awful lot this year. His struggles this year were probably unlike anything he's experienced in his pro career so far, in that he's just been trying to get himself back to the Darcy Murphy even he knows and the Darcy Murphy he can be. So to see that kind of confidence build, especially as we come down the stretch towards playoffs, was special. But yeah, look, job done. But I didn't think much of the Coventry Blaze and sort of the nature of their performance throughout that game.
It was a chippy performance. They got quite physical. As you said, I was saying I sent you a message during the game saying that, you know, this is could be for them the first, or for us at least, the first of three games against them. And as it turned out to be, they did have another game on Sunday against Dundee. But it felt to me, says, as if they were setting out a physical stall to say that, you know, this is the game we're going to play coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're playing a full, well, basically you're playing three lines. You've got two 17-year-olds in your lineup who are not afraid to throw their bodies about, even though they're not that big. And they didn't look out of place against a team of professionals who are only missing Matthew Thompson all season. I don't think there's anything there to be afraid of right now. Playing a two-game back to back, home and away, and for a playoff marker, maybe a different kettle of fish. I just don't know how it's going to turn out this weekend. But you know, they came into the weekend. They, you know, there was that goal on for Hookie where he took the hit to the head.
Yeah.
Immediately, if you watch the play leading up to it, Hookie Baker comes off the wall. He gets a two-hand slash from David Clements, the referee. Tom Pring's looking right at it. No call. You're talking about, you know, deliberately attempting to injure a player. If that's not a deliberate attempt to injure, then I have no idea what is. If you look back a little bit before that, before Sam Ruop left, by the way, Hookie never returned in the game. If you look back to the incident with Sam Ruop, he plays a man behind the net, finishes his check, comes out front, where which he should be. Again, two-hand slash right across the back against Sam Ruop. No call. It's bloody ridiculous. Like, these guys are out there doing their best to play a professional sport. Yes, it's a physical sport, and I have no problem with guys getting stuck in. But don't be a card and come in behind where the guy can't see and two-hand you. I know if Sam had a return, I would have totally expected him to knock the bag right out of Curran. There's two games this weekend. That might happen. You never know. But, you know, it's. I thought that there was a bit of a cardly play from Curran coming in and two-hand him around the back. So, Hookie and Ruop are okay. Both on the ice this morning. Looking forward to the weekend.
Good to hear.
You know, you've got when you've got your top line missing out, they've got 270 points this season, or 270 plus points this season, and they decide to have a night off and go and enjoy themselves. Fair play to them. I know one of them sitting in the wings listening in to it, and he can maybe tell us. I offered him a job on the 12th of July this year, Dave, and he totally accepted that. So we'll bring him in here in just a minute. But again, look, the bottom line is a win's a win. We ended up top of the league with more points than everybody else, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter a damn what the rest of the league does throughout it. It's all about winning games and off the season strong with another two wins at the SSA Arena.
Dave, your take?
I go quick, Paddy, because obviously Con's waiting there. I think the best thing to come out of Saturday night was I had the overs at 6-4. So that was in fairly early. So I was pretty pleased with that. That sort of loosey-goosey first 30 minutes of game allowed us to stroke a few quid off the bookies. So that was good. I think if we go to Soisey's goal, the D-man goes to throw it up the wall and it takes a funny bounce off one of the stanchions. And as it hits the ice, Carter Hamill's head's on a swivel. He's already got his head up and he's looking to see who's coming off the bench. He plays that lovely seam pass and Soisey comes into it and absolutely rips it home. So great to see Carter getting his first pro point. Great to see Soisey find the back of net because he can be clutch for us at times and has been at different times through the season. It's good to see him hopefully warming up. The two-handed slash from Clemens, cardly act. She says lesser, I think he's talked on commentary about Laker probably being pound for pound one of the toughest guys in the league. It's lucky he is that he could take that because, say, he's come in and done him from the side and then just 1 second later, Hookie takes a hit to the head, which maybe Joel will talk about in other news. But, like, we came out of it again. We've seemed to come through unscathed. We've got a few bodies rested that they'll tell us in a minute whether they really wanted rested or not. They had a good night anyway, which is the main thing. Regular season over. We're hanging banners, boys, and that's all we're trying to do. Hang banners, make memories, and, you know, it's been a good season. So four more games, hopefully, and could be a great season.
Yeah. The highlights from both games are available, of course, on YouTube from our good friends at Jans TV. Right, let's go on to the fan agenda. He's waiting in the wings, sponsored by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. Undoubtedly one of my favourite players of the season, not just for his goal-scoring prowess, his point-scoring prowess, but for the absolute S-housery that I really enjoy him. I think him screaming at the Nottingham Panthers on the 0.4 equaliser is probably one of my moments of the season. Please welcome to your View from the Bridge. Welcome back to your View from the Bridge. You're number 10 for the Belfast Giants. That is, of course, Scott Conway. How are you doing, mate? Turn your phone sideways.
How you guys doing?
Turn sideways. Yep.
I'll do it.
Good.
So, how was your night on Saturday night?
We had fun. It's different not playing a game, you know. We're so used to playing those games, and we had some fun, that's for sure, and I think the crowd loved it.
Obviously, great to see a banner being hoisted or dropped, as it was, in the SSC Arena over the weekend. You know, that's what you guys are here for. It's even more enjoyable to see how much it meant to the fans.
Yeah, we put in that hard work throughout the whole season and to get that Clark Cup, the Challenge Cup, that was, it's definitely a special moment to see that banner go up there. And at least we got to see it this year, because usually down the road, when you win a Challenge Cup or a banner, you don't really get to see it until the next year. So it's special to be a part of this team, and everyone a part of this team gets to see that banner getting raised. So that's definitely a special moment.
Collins, you'll have been well aware when you signed for Belfast, there's an expectation among the fan base. We're perennial challengers. We're always challenging, and fans have an expectation. When you came in at the start of the season, do you come in with the expectation that we're going to Grand Slam here, or we'll build into it and we'll see where we go, see how the locker room molds together? And, you know, what sort of stage of the season did you really look? Because I think we talked last week, through the first maybe 10, 12 games, we're about 500. At what point in the season did you just really look at each other and go, we could do something special here?
Yeah, I think just a little bit past that, maybe like the 15th game in, personally. Yeah, we struggled at the beginning, but I think that we, for the most part, dominated those games. We just came up short. It's hockey. Like, you might dominate the game, and next thing you know, you're losing. You lose the game. So I think the first time we stepped on the ice, I knew we were a good team together. Whether we could gel on and off the ice as well as we did this year, I did not know, but we are gelling more than we're a very close team, and I think we've gelled the most that I've ever been on a team together with everyone out, so which is huge, and that definitely helps you win trophies, and we've got two and we're going for three.
We'll look back right to the start of the season, and I'm going to say it was very early October. We went to Cardiff, and we actually had them twice quite early in the season in their place. And for me, I thought we dominated both games, probably certainly five out of the six periods. And, you know, and we came out of Cardiff with no wins this season, but we've gone on and done the damage in other games. Was that a frustration for you, is that you just couldn't get, as you say, you win some games or you lose some games that you deserve to win?
Yeah, you know, that might have been right around the time where I thought that I knew that we had it, just because we played a top end team. We knew that they were going to be a top three team in this league, and maybe even possibly top two at that time. And yeah, we had a couple issues on that trip with flights getting delayed and whatnot, and so there was a little bit of challenges against us. And we came ready to play that day, or one of those games. I think it was the first game. And we came ready to play, and we just fell up short. But we knew we had it. We had the most amount of chances out of both teams, and definitely the most amount of great A's. So we just fell short that game.
Before handing over to Simon there, if you're watching live on Facebook or on YouTube and you've got any questions for Scott Conway, just type it into the chat, and we'll ask him in a few minutes. Simon?
Collins, talk us through your round of golf today at Malone.
Right under the bus.
73, not bad. So come out whenever you're ready.
Yeah, that's not bad at all, mate. I think I'll leave my club sitting in the shed for the meantime.
Yeah, that's a personal best for me. Yeah.
Yeah, Davey touched on you know, early in the season, the likes of the Cardiff Devils. You faced them a couple of times, October, November. I want to touch on the likes of the, you know, the teams that we've always sort of struggled against, but I don't know if it's not getting up for games. The likes of away to Dundee is always tough. Away to the Glasgow Clan, those games that were, you know, that they're nitty and gritty, and they just need to get into. And we, as I say, we've sort of we're always up for the big games. But what is the mentality when you're going into Dundee? You're taking the ferry over to Dundee. You're getting prepared for the game, whether it's a hotel or a day trip. Is there a different mentality facing at Omar Pasha team or a Malcolm Cameron team compared to the likes of Sheffield?
Yeah, I think so. First off, that ferry and the bus ride is definitely sucks compared to a nice plane ride in there. You get a nice rest and nap and pre-game meal. So you got to prepare a little bit differently than when you're going to an English team. But also, I think that the Scottish teams, they're more of a holdy type of team. They the rest, I feel like, seem to let things go a little bit more up there. So you know you're going to be in one going those two or three teams up there, just because we know they box out hard, they play hard, and they're physical teams. So yeah, I think the whole prep into it, just basically, you just got to prepare mentally that you're going to be, it's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be an easy walkover, and you're going to get hit in those games. So you just got to be mentally prepared for that.
Take us into Sheffield last weekend, the Saturday game especially. You know, you're, it's all about the preparation. You've got, you know, obviously the way Adam's sorted your schedule this year, and you know, obviously trying to give you as much time off, because as the season goes on, it's not about practicing, it's obviously about resting and getting prepared and getting ready to go in a game like the Saturday game in Sheffield. What was your build up for that week, and obviously getting ready for the face off on the Saturday evening?
Yeah, we knew that was big games. You're talking about the games where we won the league, or last weekend? Yeah, the ones where we won the league.
Yeah, the one we won the league. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that was massive. Coach came into the locker room, I think the first practice we had there. I think it was he gave us a Monday off. We had the Tuesday, so we went in Tuesday well rested, and he basically came in and told us, "Hey, we win these games, and that's it. We won the whole league, and this is what you come here to play for." All those games added up all the year over the entire year is it means nothing if you don't get these two wins. So. We came out, we gave it our all, and we prevailed in the end. But I think the practice, for the practice, we kind of ramped our way up, and pace, we knew the pace was going to be pretty high during those games. So we did the little things what we needed to do in those games, such as getting pucks behind their D and getting some good forechecks going and making sure we have a net presence at all times. So we did that during the practices, and I think it showed a little bit during the games that the practices did pay off.
Cons, we're obviously a Belfast Giants podcast first and foremost, but it would be remiss of us not to congratulate you on your selection to Pete Russell's GB team for the Worlds this summer. You're obviously not thinking beyond the task at hand, which is the Giants kind of playoff campaign, you know, 3 points in three games in those Olympic qualifiers, which I think were your GB debut pre-pandemic. You must be excited to head out to Finland this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome just to have a new experience. You're playing against the best players in the world, so it's definitely going to be an experience. Unfortunately, Kirky can't make it this year with Great Britain because he's injured. So I'm going to have to try to step up as best I can and fill that role as best I can. So I'm kind of excited to play with the players that I played with last year and meet the new players on the team this year. So it's going to be fun.
We talked briefly just at the weekend just about the Giants fan base on the evening that you guys were arrested. You know, you've obviously... You had a little bit of time in the coast, and you've played junior, whatever else. You said just that the experience for a player here coming here to try and win championships, and the way that you're held by the fan base, the regard that they hold you in, is kind of different to anything that you've experienced. Talk to me a bit about that. You know, just what's it been like being pro in Belfast, and just the difference, the kind of fan base, and that relationship between player and fan.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're in the States, it's kind of. There's a lot of interchange in your team. You might get cut and traded and all that stuff. So whereas over here, you're with the team basically the whole year. You basically build a little bit of basically relationships with some of the fans and stuff like that. You see them day in and day out, chant your name, and very cool. Especially like a team like Belfast, they create their own chants for certain players, or if not all the players, right? So. They definitely want to connect with the players off the ice as well as when we're on the ice. And when we had that night off, the last game there, and went to the boomerang corner and stuff like that, everyone was coming up to us saying hi and getting everything signed. And it makes you feel great, you know, inside, just to know that they care about you and just as much as you care about those guys. So.
We've got a few questions that have come in live from the guys watching on. But before we get to that, because I want to ask a question from a personal point of view, I've made it abundantly clear some of the elements of your game that I really enjoy. But that aspect of it, that chippiness, that chirpiness, being in the faces, you know, after a goal being scored, shouting at them and giving them a bit back, is that something that you think is part of your game, or is that just a natural sort of emotion you think, up yours?
No. I think it's definitely a part of the game for sure. I think most of hockey is mental. If you have a mental edge on someone else, you have the edge throughout the whole game. So If you win a battle, I'm in that guy's ear. If I win a battle, I'm in that guy's ear the entire game, letting him know that I'm right there and stuff like that. Next thing you know, if I win another battle, next thing you know, I'll be getting a slash in the back of the leg or cross check in the back, and I'm just drawing a penalty. So penalties are a big part of the game, and we did pretty well in the power play this year, and I think I did a good job of getting guys wound up and getting guys in the box.
Collins, it's not just games. I hear you in practice.
Kitchy, you know I'm one of the most competitive guys you probably have ever met. So I think that definitely helps with me on the ice for sure. And I'm not a loser. I like to win. So, and if I am losing, I do all I can to make sure I win. So.
Yeah, well, you're in the right place, mate. You've 2 from 2 this year, but it's certainly rubbing off from people around you. Jasmine obviously works with Steph and Edge, and Steph is not afraid of a chirp or two as well.
No, I think she's getting it from me now. She didn't used to be like this, and all of a sudden when she got me, I'm getting chirps all the time now when I'm cooking or when I'm going for a walk, how I'm walking, so... I got to make sure to give it back once now and again, though.
when you live it, it becomes your life, mate. When you live it,
live the gimmick.
That's it. And let's go to a couple of questions that have come in. Alan Brett has come in with chemistry of JJ and Goody has been fantastic all season. Do you think it's the best line you've played in?
Definitely up there. I would say either this line or one of my lines in college for sure. My lines in college, both the guys are playing in the NHL right now. One's AHL, NHL. One's in Pittsburgh's organization, second runner, Casper Bjorkqvist, and another guy, Brandon Duhaime, is in playing for Minnesota right now. So we had definitely a connection when we were in college, just because we played 2 or 3 years together there. We grew as a line every year, and it was kind of unique in that aspect. Whereas this year, it's a pro level. You get 1 year maybe, and then some guys move on and other guys stay. So for the most part, I think that as a pro level, this is definitely the best line I've been a part of. I think we click on the ice very well. We know where each other are the entire time we're on the ice together. And definitely helps when I know where they are and they know where I am. So, and obviously it relates to the points as well.
Was there any, I probably know the answer. Was there any real battle between you and JJ with regards to the points and the goals? Did you have a bit of a back and forth?
Yeah, definitely. I think Coach stirred it up a little bit too, especially when Valorant was in the hunt there for a little bit. And then as soon as I hit that 100th point, I'm like, I don't want to play that last game. So I just kind of said, hey, JJ, you can have it. He basically said,
such a team guy.
He basically just told me, hey, Collins, if you're playing, I'm playing. So there was no way he was taking the night off and I was playing that game, that's for sure. we definitely made a joke about it a couple of days, that day of the game. I'm like, hey, Coach, just send JJ a text, tell him I'm in the lineup last second, someone else pulled out. So I was actually sitting with Goody when it happened, and it was kind of funny. As soon as he heard, he called Goody up right away, and Goody's like, I promise you he's not playing, I promise.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Robert Howes, any pregame rituals?
No, not really. Basically, nap, shower, just take the same route to the rink every day. Me and Sam leave it together, same time every day. Get my sewer games in before the game, and get a good stretch. Other than that, not really. Me and Soji have like a little shooting contest the first couple pucks that we get on the ice, but that's really about it. Not that superstitious.
Chris Revel, did your Friendship 4 experience influence your decision to come to Belfast?
Yeah, I think so. It was obviously between the big teams over here, and I knew for a fact that Belfast had a good following. When we played in the Friendship 4 over here, it was fun experience. Obviously, you're in college then, and you didn't really get that leeway to go out and have those nights on the town like we can living here. So, but I knew that the fans and the people in Belfast were great people, and loved the rink, loved loved Kiefer just because I played with him in the GB team. So I kind of had a feel for what I was getting into. I also knew that a few guys on the team were coming here. So I know you got along well, very well with those guys. So that did influence my my decision too.
One more from number one ice hockey fan. How does it feel when you scored that penalty in Sheffield? And you know, from a personal point of view, where did that stick go? It seemed to just vanish.
Hang on, before you answer that, Collins, because I want to flesh that question out a wee bit. You did an interview pretty much straight after. It might have been with Ellie or someone on ice, and you talked about going back to the bench and talking to Kiefer and spotting something Stojanovic had done. You know, you'll have done your video analysis on the goalie. You'll have prepared well before you went, but you just seen something in the first move against them. You went back to bench and you knew before you got on the ice what move you were going to make. What sort of analysis did you go through in your head with coaching yourself on the bench?
Yeah, well, to start, I usually don't like going first in a shootout. I don't think a lot of the higher scored players do, just because you can see the tendency of the goalies and what they're trying to do on the shootout. So I like to go somewhat mid-pack to last, and just if we need a goal, then put me in. But first move, I went forehand, backhand, and I didn't bring him over far enough. I was trying to make him stretch all the way so I could bring it back and tuck it in the post. And I noticed that as a couple of guys went, such as like JJ and Goody before me, I think it was JJ or Laker, it might have been, the goalie kind of spread wide and stayed low to the net, and his five hole looked very big. And then I saw that also when I came down. I should have took that five hole, but I already had the play in my head after I reached a certain point. So I looked at Kiefer afterwards, and I basically said, hey, I got this. And I told the guys on the bench I was going five hole, and that he should probably close his legs a little bit quicker than he has been doing. So came down the left side and just shut it on the ice between the stick. Turned around and saw the bench coming at me, and I didn't know what to do. I first had the first celebration I had to start in my head was the Patrick Kane heartbreaker. So I was gonna do that in center ice and shed myself at center ice, but I don't know where the bone arrow came from. I didn't mind it.
Didn't mind it.
And then all of a sudden I looked at the bench and everyone was freaking coming at me as fast as they could. So I just took my helmet off, shed it as quick as I could. I launched it, basically hit the ceiling in that rink, and I lost my glove in section 204.
rest in peace, Collins' glove.
Stick came down and almost hit someone in the head as they're coming to rush me. But it was I basically tried to absorb the pressure of everyone coming in, so I tried to skate away from everyone at first.
It was brilliant. It was the simultaneous gloves just gone.
Yeah, they go up, but they just don't come down. It's like it's gone.
I'll be fair. I didn't actually see that celebration until about 20 minutes later, because I think I was on the floor. So it was, it was one of those. Before we wrap up here, just obviously, you know, the league is done. The banner will be raised. The cup is done. The banner's already up there. We've got Coventry this weekend, leading into hopefully a big weekend in Nottingham the following weekend. How are you set? How are you looking? How are you guys feeling coming into this weekend?
Yeah, rested. Well rested. The boys, like you said earlier, before I got on, the guys took a couple bangs, are feeling fine. They out skated today, so we're buzzing out there in practice today. It was kind of a lighter skate. Tomorrow we're going to ramp it up for sure. Kiefer said it's going to be a hard skate, so get the legs going a little bit tomorrow, get the pace going a little bit for playoff mentality, and then just kind of work on systems and what we need to work on. Our power play's got to be clicking this weekend, our PK's got to be clicking this weekend, and it's basically one giant game. So no matter if we lose that first game, they're coming back to our place and we're good at our barn. So I have no question that we're going to win that game, if not the first game too. So as long as we bring it all, give everything we got like we usually do, I have no questions that we're going to not win that game.
Well, listen, Collins, obviously, you know, we're coming towards the end of the season. So from a sort of view from the bridge, a big thank you for everything and coming on. You've been on a couple of times now and chatting to us after games and stuff. So a big thank you from our perspective. Good luck this weekend. Good luck going into the following weekend, hopefully. And hopefully we get that third trophy and round out what is a fantastic season.
Yeah. Hasn't been done very often. So let's try to get that done.
Absolutely. That's it, mate. Thanks very much. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Right,
cheers, Paul. Cheers.
Big thanks to Scott Conway. What a player he has been this season. No doubt we'll speak to you next season, but that's a bit of a loaded comment. So hopefully we get to speak to him next season. Fingers what a fantastic crossed. Season he's had for the Belfast Giants. Right. And thanks to everybody who sent in questions and comments and stuff like that. That's brilliant. Right, let's go to a couple of interviews that Mr. Kitchen got at training. First up, Tyler Bescarani and then Adam Keefe.
Bresco, he's had a week off after becoming a late league champion for the second time. Good to get yourself refreshed and ready to go for the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a good challenge. I think they talked to Keith before and he said, all you have to do is win two games this weekend and you can have the weekend off. So always look forward to days off and feeling refreshed and feeling ready to go now.
You watched the boys at the weekend, obviously, against Sheffield on Friday night, and then Coventry on Saturday night. What was your thoughts from a coaching perspective?
Yeah, for I thought Friday was a little slower of a game, but it was to be expected with both teams not really having a whole lot to play for. But pride at that point, and so I thought the young guys stepped up and they all played well. Cal, Carter, and Mac, and so it was nice to see them get some ice time and get rewarded for the hard work that they had this year. And with GB and playing wherever they're playing, all 17 teams that they're on. And so it was good to see them get rewarded for a good season.
Playoffs, four games over two weekends, and you have a chance to win another trophy. It's a nice card to dangle.
It is, and it's the one that slipped away from me last time. And so, I want this one this year, and, we're going to do everything we can. I think the guys are ready. We have the team to do it, and, it's going to be a challenge. Any team we face with Coventry and the other two, whoever it may be, they're going to come out strong, and they have something to play for again. And I think most of these teams, have been out of the race for a little while now for whether it's the Challenge Cup or the league trophy. And so everybody's starting at zero again. All the stats get erased, and you just got to go out and win game by game, and hope that luck and hard work comes your way.
Everybody's back on the ice today. Everybody's had if we say 10 days of relaxing, not so much hard practice, but enjoying themselves after becoming elite league champions. But today it looked like, anyway, it's back to business.
Yeah, it is. I think it was good that we had that week to kind of celebrate a little bit as a team and enjoy ourselves and enjoy the celebration and not have to do it this week. And it may have been a tough weekend this upcoming weekend. So, it really worked out well for us. So everybody's back in form now and back to working hard.
Cheers, Bisco. All right, thank you. Adam, it's back to work. I know we have two games at the weekend and nothing really to play for on a point scale side of things, other with a championship being won the week before. But you must have been happy with the application from the players, and obviously picking up the 4 points is good at that stage of the season as well.
Yeah, I think really the points were a bonus. I think that I was just happy with the effort both nights from our group, knowing that the job was done in terms of the league title, but it's a proud group in there, and they wanted to obviously win the home games. They had big crowds both nights, and obviously wanted to improve our points total in the season as well. So I was just happy with the whole effort over the weekend from everybody involved. I think we got some rest for some key guys, and we also got some other guys some big minutes that is only going to help with confidence.
You brought the kids in on Friday and Saturday night. What would you think of the way they applied themselves and put the effort in?
I thought Friday they were good, solid. We obviously had four lines dressed that night, and we probably played a little less and were counted on a little less. I thought Saturday in particular, I thought they really stepped up. We ate some very valuable minutes, and we were rolling three lines right up until I think maybe the last 3 minutes of the game. But they were both great. They were both impactful as well, and were a big part of that win.
Back to business, as in the playoffs are kicking in this weekend. Coventry Blaze being confirmed as the opponent this weekend. We've had a lot of success against them this year, but that's all forgot about. It's all ready to go this weekend.
Yeah, it's about turning the page today. It's a new season, right? Everybody starts at zero. Coventry is playing for their lives. They're playing for their season. Now, and his eight other or seven other teams that haven't won a trophy this season. And everybody wants that playoff trophy. So we need to play with that same type of desire. Otherwise, it can go the other way on us quick.
Everybody ready to go today?
Looks that way.
Big thanks to Tyler Bescarani and to Adam Keith and everybody watching YouTube. I don't know where Davey's gone. Just popped out. Any news, Mr. Neil?
Yeah, Paddy, we'll run through a couple of things quickly. As we mentioned there when Scott Conway was on, and that was, I've just tweeted it actually during the interviews there, Colin's talking through the shootout, the goal, and the celebrations is one of my season highlights on A View from the Bridge. That was phenomenal insight. Just great to hear that first-person perspective. But Scott Conway has joined Pete Russell's GB squad. The organization named their 25-man squad for the IIHF World Championships in Finland coming up next month. He's joined by Jackson Whistle, Lewis Hook, and Ben Lake from the Belfast Giants. And all but five players in that squad have played in the EIHL this season. One addition which made waves today was Cade Nielsen, son of former Nottingham Panthers player and head coach Corey Nielsen. Cade is 20 years old, playing with the Aberdeen Wings of the NAHL and has committed to NCAA D1 program University of Alaska Fairbanks Nanooks for the 22-23 season. And as Collins mentioned earlier, no Liam Kirk and no Brendan Connolly, who are out through injury. The tournament begins on the 13th of May, running through to the 29th, and in Group B, along with GB, will be Finland, the Czech Republic, Sweden, Latvia, Norway, Austria, and a little-known program known as the USA. In Dops news, we mentioned it earlier as well, Yanni Kivalati was fined and suspended for one game for an illegal check to the head on Lewis Hook as he scored Sunday's game winner in Belfast against Coventry. Essentially, Dops says if Kivalati wants to deliver the hit that he hit or that he made legally, he must take an angle of approach that hits through Hook's shoulder and core rather than one that cuts across the front of the body, making his head the main point of contact. And it did look fairly nasty when Hookie went down. And as Sis says, glad that Hookie's okay. That was Kivalati's first suspension this season, so he's not a previous offender and he gets one game for that. So the playoffs with 270 regular season games in the books, we now look ahead to the lineup for the Premier Sports playoff quarterfinals. The Belfast Giants are going to take on the Coventry Blaze, the Sheffield Steelers against the Dundee Stars, the Cardiff Devils take on the Glasgow Clan, and the Nottingham Panthers against the Guildford Flames. Missing out this year are the Manchester Storm and the Fife Flyers. We'll have a look at the table in just a wee minute. And it was also announced finally that the playoff finals weekend have issued day tickets. They went on sale on Friday morning, the 15th of April, so Friday just passed. They're on sale at the Motorpoint Arena website. Just check out the EIHL site and the news section if you want to get yours. Tickets are £55 plus £2.50 arena fees, and they can be purchased for either the Saturday, the semi-finals day, or Sunday, that all-important third-place game and the final. There is no option to purchase for individual games. And Davey's back. Good to see. You love to see it, and that's your news. I don't know if you want to take a look at the final standings, Paddy.
I'll do Stanton in a minute. There was something I was going to mention there. Let's do Stanton now because it popped out of my head. So it's all live, kids. Let's do this. The standings, of course, the Belfast Giants stand as champions. Sheffield Steelers in second, Cardiff and Nottingham in third and fourth. I think Nottingham was confirmed more or less last week. And then there's a real battle in the bottom four for seeding. Guildford getting that fifth seed. Glasgow, Dundee and Coventry went down to the wire with Dundee scoring in the dying seconds, more or less, against Coventry to get that. It went the overtime, didn't it? And Dundee took the points that put them in seventh and gives them a matchup against the Sheffield Steelers. Coventry, obviously, up against us. Going to put you boys on the spot here. I've got my little pad here. Gives your final four. Davey.
Who's playing who again there?
So Belfast against Coventry. Let's put that down as well.
Belfast.
Okay, so that's Davey. Davey's going for Belfast. Sheffield against Dundee.
Come on, Pash.
You go for Stars?
I don't believe it in my heart, but it's in my belly. So come on, Pash.
Right, so Davey's got the Stars. Cardiff against Glasgow.
Oh, Clan all the way. Come on, Clan.
Clan. Yeah, okay. And we've got the Panthers against the Flames. I'll just start writing the Flames, mate.
It's yeah, don't even waste your time.
There you go. To be fair, they are the four that I had written down on Sunday.
Bit of an upside down tilt that I understand that, you know, there's little chance that only one of the top four seeds go through, but hey, you can always hope.
Simon, who are your four? Oh, You're muted? You're muted, Simon. Again. You're muted, mate.
I'm still thinking. Belfast, Dundee, Cardiff, and Guildford.
Belfast, Dundee, Cardiff, and
that would hit the league hard with ticket sales, I would think.
Yep. That would hit them very hard. But I honestly, Dundee are capable of getting the result. They've won in Sheffield this year. They've beat Sheffield, I think it's twice in Dundee. I think they're capable of getting a result.
I think so.
And the Panthers are brutal. The Guildford Flames, I think they'll beat. The Panthers are struggling. I know they're down on bodies. I'm pretty sure Tushin-Yon missed out at the weekend.
They've brought in Downey from Manchester Storm for goalkeeping to cover for Carr.
You know, I can't say I wish him the best of luck because I don't. But you know, he's not a top end goalie. He's a good Brit, but he's not a top end goalie, and they need that. Unless they collapse around him at every opportunity, then I can't see. I think Guildford will win that over two legs.
Joel, who are you for?
Yeah, look, I'm probably going to say, well, obviously, the Belfast Giants. I think the Sheffield Steelers are going to be like a wounded animal this weekend. You know, second seed against seventh. They've seen their season fall away from them. I think they're going to be tight games, actually, that Sheffield-Dundee mini-series, but I think the Steelers are going through. Cardiff and Glasgow can't really call. Something tells me that Malkipak is going to prevail. So I'll say Giants, Steelers, Clan, and Flames.
Nobody's given Nottingham the nod here, which obviously, with regards to the way the ticket sales are going for the weekend, would be a major problem for the Elite League.
Nottingham were going to go through, it would not be worth the WhatsApp battering I would get from Davey McGimsey after the show tonight. So we can't say Nottingham pass. Yeah,
I'm so proud of you. Well done. You're learning.
I'm going Giants, Steelers, Devils, and Flames.
Oofed.
I think 1, 2, and 3 go through, but 4 do not. We'll see. Well, I'll have these stuck to this monitor all week, and we'll come back to them next week. Right, so yes, the Belfast Giants will take on the Coventry Blaze in two games this weekend in the quarterfinals of the playoffs, Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Sky Dome. That will be live on Blaze TV for those who will not be in attendance.
Mark Reid has put on live podcasts are great, but he's got a picture of what appears to be a trout.
Mark, share with us what is the picture? Tell me what the picture is so he doesn't have to strain his eyes. He's getting old.
One minute it was a soft tail, but it looks like it's got three wheels. There you go. Sorry.
Those listening on Apple Podcasts, there's a little picture in the corner if you're watching on YouTube.
You're listening to Bike Chat with David
McKenzie. So Sky Dome, 7 p.m. on Saturday. If you're not making it there, the Blaze TV with Ed and Stu will be covering the game. Two great lads for doing that. And then Sunday, Belfast Giants' final game at the SSE Arena this season against the Coventry Blaze in the second leg of the quarterfinals of the playoffs, 4 p.m. on Sunday. Get yourself down there. I think that, you know, as I can vouch for this, as wonderful as it is to watch in Belfast Giants TV with the likes of Says and you had Neil the Coach Russell on last week. Fantastic job. And then basically spent the rest of the day being wound up by Hitchy, but that's another story.
Oh, that's another story. But here, Paddy, I know I don't usually do a section of the show and I'm not getting people to put their rally pants and all, but what you're saying there, if you can get down to the SSE this weekend,
yep,
this will be the last chance you ever get to see this roster play together at the SSE. There's never been a 20 guys that came back this season. We've been here 22 years. It's never happened. It's not going to happen this season. Some of these guys will move on. Some of these guys will retire. Some of these guys will move within the league. Some of these guys will move without the league. This roster that has won the league and has won the Challenge Cup and has an opportunity to win the lot, this is going to be your last chance to say farewell, good luck at the playoffs, lads. Get down, fill the barn, help us get the Nottingham, because they've said it a whole lot of times this season. The extra man in the stands has been critical at times this season. Challenge Cup final, don't underestimate how important the crowd was. Taft talked about it in Neil Whiteside's documentary. So if you can get down, obviously if you can't, next best thing says on Giants TV, but he'd say himself, he'd rather that barn full and people sitting listening to him.
Simon, you agree with that?
Yeah, I should listen to me, mate.
Yeah.
look, again, Davey's just touched on it. You know what? We want to get as many people in as possible. Again, it's you've got to support the boys. You've got to send them off to Nottingham the following week. You know that with all the confidence in the world, and you're going to get a chance to see another banner being lowered. So it'll be there on the league championship banner being lowered on Sunday afternoon. So there or be whatever other shit you want.
Come on, you're part of this organization. Why can we not just raise a banner?
Yeah.
Please. Do it for
also,
me.
Also the dropping of the banner last weekend was brilliant.
It was just to try and hold things out, and you know, the suspense was
it was the hand that came down to give it a good shake. That's what I
mean. Neil did a brilliant job on the edit for the highlights, to be fair. No,
fairness, I don't think it was that good a job by Neil, because the cameraman didn't get round yet quick enough, so we sort of missed a wee bit at the start. But you might see a change in the banner that's there at the minute. The there's a few wee changes being made, so it's the banner will be coming down and on Sunday, and it's going to look good.
Fantastic. Well, that game is on Sunday at 4 p.m. The final game at the SSE Arena for this Elite League Championship winning Challenge Cup. Winning Belfast Giants on their way, hopefully, to winning a third trophy. But to do that, they have to get past the Coventry Blaze Sunday at 4 p.m. Any other business, boys? There you go, Davey. A Yamaha XVS 1100 dragster trike.
I knew that. I just didn't want to say.
Didn't know myself. But any other business, boys? No? Is that it?
I have nothing really pressing.
We're all done for that. Okay, in which case, then we'll start to wrap things up. A big thank you to Scott Conway for coming and joining us. A big thanks to Tyler Beskarwani, and of course to Adam Keefe for their time. And thanks to Simon for sorting that out. And of course, and Davey sorting out the videos. A lot of people were quite, he had a bit of an influence last week, Davey, with regards to the banners that went up in the boomerang corner with the choice of music. And a few requests this week as to what the music's being used.
Joel call me an influencer, which I'm far from, but it's good that people are liking the music. I was saying to Joel earlier, we're having a few technical issues with doing the talking over the videos, so while we're trying to get those gremlins sorted out, we're just doing the highlights with a wee bit of music to them, just for
long may those gremlins continue. I think those are class wee segments. I was
if you want to pick some tunes, Joel, throw them over to me and I'll mix it.
Yeah, didn't know that classical metal one at the end there. Which classical composer was that? Maybe before my time, I don't know. No, they're awesome. They're absolutely fantastic. I must have watched that Jamie Webster one about 10, 15 times last week. It just really encapsulated the mood of it. I thought it was awesome. I would vote to keep those. They're class.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So yeah, thanks to Davey and thanks for doing the news, Joel. Like I say, the games this weekend, Saturday at 7 p.m. away to the Coventry Blaze, first leg of the quarterfinal, and then back to the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there for the final home game of the season, Sunday at 4 p.m. at the SSE Arena. And you catch that if you can't on Giants TV. And that's it. Bit of a different ending to the show this week. First of all, wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. But however, we end on a bit of a sad note that one of our own, Alistair Duncan, sadly died suddenly in hospital just a few days ago. A Belfast Giants fan through and through. His wife, Samantha, misses him dearly, no doubt. And our condolences go out to Samantha and to Alfie and to Riley on his passing. And we end the show by dedicating this show in his memory. See you next week. Podcast Network.